This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. It's come up repeatedly in recent political debates, the idea of monitoring U.S. residents based solely on their religion. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas defended his idea of having law enforcement patrol Muslim neighborhoods in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Brussels. And candidate Donald Trump on the Republican side also has called for surveillance of certain mosques in the United States. But according to a report by a journalist working with former CIA employee turned whistleblower Edward Snowden, the United States government already has monitored prominent Muslim Americans by probing their emails. And that alleged surveillance has upended the lives of some of the targeted U.S. citizens, casting suspicion on them and dogging their personal, political, and professional lives. Fazel Gill knows about this firsthand. Despite being cleared of any wrongdoing or suspicious activity, he was ultimately compelled to resign from government service in Washington, D.C. All of this, he says, happened before he decided to move to Vermont, making his new home in Winooski, where he now lives. We visited him there recently to hear his story. You worked for the Department of Homeland Security under President George W. Bush. You held a top secret security clearance. When did you learn, though, that your personal emails had been monitored by the federal government? How did you find that out?
Actually, I learned that 2 years ago. Glenn Greenwald, who was the news reporter that Edward Snowden gave all the documents that he took from NSA, gave me a call and said he needed to meet with me. So I went to New York to meet with Glenn Greenwald, and that's where he told me that, hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but between the years of 2006 and 2008, the NSA was monitoring your emails.
Did you ever get any indication as to why that covert surveillance by NSA and FBI took place at all?
Not at all, and that's one of the frustrations, is because if you look at the statute, there are five categories for why they do surveil people, and they're all fairly, you know, ominous sounding. If you have connections with a foreign government, if you are an agent of a foreign government, if you are suspected of terrorist activities, it's categories like that. And, you know, I had nothing like that.
So as far as you know, permission to monitor your email was likely granted by the FISA court, top secret foreign intelligence surveillance court. What kind of probable cause is needed to surveil U.S. citizens?
I mean, the probable cause is the same, you know, reasonable suspicion that someone has committed a crime or someone is likely to commit a crime. The problem is there is no check and balance, you know. The court meets in secret and the prosecutors and the FBI agents go down there and they issue out an affidavit and say, we suspect this person, and then we don't know what happens. What we do know is 98% or 99% of all the warrants are approved. I mean, if you go down to Chittenden County Superior Court here and you ask how many ones are approved, I doubt it's that many.
So since you found out about this, I'm sure you've wondered what was going on there. Do you think that your background, the fact that you were born in Pakistan, may have had something to do with this kind of surveillance?
Without question. I think the only reason that I was surveilled is because I'm a Muslim American, I was born in Pakistan, and, you know, and I hate to say this, but I don't know what else to say. Is that I'm active, you know, politically, and I'm out there as a Muslim American. And I think that was probably one of the reasons that I was surveilled.
And yet you were working under the George W. Bush administration, certainly a conservative administration. You say you're politically active. How so? How do you think that may have affected things?
Well, in 2006 and 2008, I was running in Virginia for political office, you know, and I was pretty always involved in local community, always involved in Muslim advocacy groups. And if you look at all the folks who were involved in Muslim advocacy groups, the list that of the people that were surveilled, they're all folks who are fairly active in the Muslim advocacy community. So I think that kind of has something to do with it.
But your personal life, you believe, has been affected by this. How so?
From a personal level, when my kids go somewhere, I mean, everybody these days Googles you, right? I mean, if they meet you, they Google you. When they Google me, all this stuff comes up and they don't know what to make of it. So it's affected my kids when they go with, you know, whether it be with other parents. I've had, you know, school officials say, yeah, we Googled you and it was kind of, you know, interesting. And but professionally, once I left the Department of Homeland Security, I mean, it was absolutely unemployable. Nobody wants a lawyer that has any issues or that's been suspected of terrorism or has been, you know, surveilled or was accused of lying on a security clearance forms. That just does not make you employable.
When you talk about making it tough to be employable because of this, just the suspicion, you know, as you say, having your name come up on a Google search in some ways, is that part of what, or a major reason why you left the Washington, D.C. area to come to Vermont?
No, I don't think that was the, you know, I wanted out from D.C. after my, you know, election. I spent some years in California just because that was the only work that I was able to find. And I was coming back to the East Coast, so I was looking for some place to, you know, raise my kids. And we'd been coming to Vermont for years, vacationing in Vermont, and liked it, and I thought it was a nice place.
What has it been like for you here in Vermont? Has it been a receptive place for you? Have you felt welcomed here?
Absolutely. I mean, Vermont's been great. Now, I'm not going to say it's been perfect, but for the most part, overwhelmingly, the people in Vermont have been absolutely fantastic. The school, you know, that my daughter goes to, they've been great. When they found out about my story, instead of worrying about it, they had me in. They had me speak to the class, and you know, the class was very receptive. The teachers have been great. So, you know, Vermont's been a pretty very welcoming place, especially here in Winooski.
What are your thoughts about this incredibly emotionally charged and divisive political year? You must have heard the comments that Senator Ted Cruz made after the Brussels attacks, where he suggested that Muslim neighborhoods in the U.S. Should be patrolled. Did these sorts of things bring up some of these feelings in you, memories of what happened, your own situation, and how do you feel about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the most dangerous things that is being talked about right now. And it's also counterproductive to what Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are trying to accomplish, which is, you know, make America safe from terrorist activities. I mean, Muslim Americans are what I say the front lines. And what I mean by that is, if there is somebody out there who's, you know, talking about doing these heinous, terrible activities, they're in the mosques right now. And what we want is we want the Muslim community basically coming forward and saying, hey, look, to law enforcement, you know, we see this, we hear this. And they already are in other communities. You know, Dearborn, Michigan, they have a great relationship with law enforcement. I mean, Northern Virginia.
You recently announced that you're running for state senate here in Vermont. That must have been a pretty big decision to re-enter the public sphere. Did you have any doubts? Why did you decide to run?
It was a big decision, and as you know, living in Vermont, Chittenden County Senate seat is a pretty big bite. So there's a couple of reasons. I mean, there's issues that are really important to me, you know, higher education, which is what I'm talking about, and that's the one that really moves me. But at the same time, you know, I do think that that it does send a message that a Muslim American in this year, with this rhetoric on the national level, can run from a state such as Vermont, which is, you know, not that diverse, and who knows, have a good shot of winning. And if I'm successful, I think it'll send a great message that not all Americans are like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump profess them to be.
Faisal Gill lives in Winooski, Vermont. I want to thank you so much for welcoming us to your home and taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.